Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Yeah. Recording approach.
Hello.
Hello, Chang.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah. You know, I was running upstairs. I didn't know it was 6 o'clock.
I somehow had it in my head that it was 10 o'clock and not 9 o'clock, and I'm glad. Literally, I'm in Ottawa helping my son just kind of get settled after Christmas break. So we just came back from grocery shopping, and I just looked at my phone and went, "Huh, oh, I need to go."
I'm making pasta, right? I'm making supper, and I'm thinking, "Oh, what time's the podcast tonight?" Because I got a minute he's stirring, and then I run and take a look. I thought, I guess I gotta go." Okay, and young man, you're on mute.
Yeah, no, I just wanted you guys to, you know, catch up, and then I was going to jump
in. Don't wait for us to catch up in here for an hour and a half.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I mean, thanks for having me. It's kind of surreal that I'm on this because I've been a listener for the past, like, I don't know, 6-7 months. So
really?
Seriously? Wow.
Wow. Thank you for listening.
I don't know if I feel bad for you or if I should congratulate you.
Yeah.
No, I
thank you.
So down to earth. It's just so informal, which is like.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we do our best. We do our best. Yeah.
Yeah, we do our best to be us, right?
Yeah.
This is pretty much what you get, right? 24/7. It's not much.
It's kind of cool. So, if you'll indulge me, like, how did you find us, the podcast? We're always curious about how people find us, and then, you know, what's kind of useful or interesting, and then what we can do better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm connected to a lot of people in the CPG industry now. Okay. I follow a lot of people as well. So, you know, when someone likes, I think I found you guys, I'm pretty sure via someone in my network liking one of your episodes that you launched.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Advertised. Yeah. I mean, that's how I find most of my stuff is through people's likes on LinkedIn.
Right. Right. That's how I do mine too, right? If someone, a friend likes it, you think, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a like audience, right? Like, if you found value in it, I probably will too. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Also, there's not a lot of CPG Canadian focused podcasts out there. So like I jump, like, I mean, I've been
almost none, actually.
Almost none. Yeah. There's you guys, there's Green Fresh. Mm-hmm.
Might be it.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, don't tell anybody. We don't want any more space. We don't want anybody in this space. We could just own this little space.
There are too many people. Nobody else jumped in with a podcast.
Yeah, nobody should do it.
We would love if you introduced yourself, kind of told us a little bit, and then you've been listening, so you kind of know our format. We'd love to kind of hear about where you've been and what you're working on now. It'd be fantastic.
For sure. I feel like I'm such a small Joe compared to the rest of the guests, but you know,
success, man.
That's the beauty of
that's,
it.
That's the beauty of it.
For sure. I think it's just like more of like I'm humbled by this. So anyways. Enough of the mush. I'll get to it. I mean, where to start? I guess, like, you know, I'm currently a strategy consultant for the government.
Okay.
I have a newborn. Well, not a newborn anymore. Actually, he's 7 months. My first child. So
still fresh.
Yeah.
Wait. Tell everyone your name. We haven't even done that part yet.
Oh, yeah, my name is Sasha. Hey guys.
Very cool.
And
we don't know Sasha, just in case the listeners are. Sasha reached out to me or you, Phil?
You.
Me on LinkedIn and just liked the podcast. I can't remember if you told me what you were doing. I took a look at it. I sent it to Phil. I said, should I have him on? It's kind of cool. He's got a new product. He's trying. You know, let's see if he wants to come on. And you graciously accepted, which was very nice. So thank you. I appreciate it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think one of the cool things is that you guys bring on folks and then you're like, you know, let's reconnect in 4 months. And in 4 months, I can tell you that I'll have distribution I have a broker team set up. So like, you know, it's, I think a lot's going to happen in the next 4 months, but
so go back to the beginning though. What do you, who are you, what you're doing, so, why you're doing it, where so you're at.
And I'd love to get it. You're Sasha Rajamani, if I got that right. Right. Mm-hmm. And you run Umi Brands.
Yeah. Umi is, my mom's name's Uma and she's like, she's always fed me. So.
Okay.
And she will do that for the rest of her life and yours.
I mean, she like, yeah, phenomenal cook. Anyways, like I devoted this to her. I mean, the brand company. But the product's called Poco, and it's a family recipe that's been in our family for years or generations. It's a rice and chickpea based chip with an infused spice mix, which is proprietary, which I did through trial and error. It looks like a Frito,
but yeah, it does. Yeah,
it tastes 100 times better.
Poco is P-O-K-K-O. In case anyone. I do this a lot on podcasts. I start like looking and trolling. So if you're going to look for it while Sasha's talking, it's P-O-K-K-O, Poco. And it really does look. Yeah.
Well, we should have got the sample sent then. I like that. I like snack foods like that.
Yeah. I had samples. I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, happy to send you guys.
Don't worry about it.
I just love
we're dumb like that. Like halfway through the show, I'll be buying them.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for it to hit the superstore down the street.
Yeah. So so you're the founder of Umi Brands and Poco. What give us a sense of like so you currently work for the government, and then this recipe and how you got here, maybe tell us a little bit about that. And then a bit about your background as well.
Yeah. For sure. I started bringing it casually to work in 2019. Colleagues were interested in it. So eventually, you know, there was enough of a customer base. So I started selling them in Ziploc bags, and then COVID hit. And then I relaunched this back in, reignited the fire was reignited back in 2021 early January. And then I was like, you know what, let's see how this does in a soft launch, an experiment run. So March 2021, I started working at a commercial kitchen, packaged, labeled all that stuff myself. Family and friends started buying it, then friends of friends, family, friends of friends, 3 and 4 degrees of separation. I did a 5-month trial, experimented at a brewery in the West End in Toronto, sold it 5 times, fastest selling snack to date, got some leads and like catering companies started ordering through. Sorry, I got like some interested catering companies. A guy at Scotiabank Arena wanted to bring it for like major league flights, which is cool. A Hollywood actor who was a regular at this brewery reached out. His assistant was like, this guy's a major TV show. Like, I actually watch a show, and he's like, yeah, Harvey's like a huge fan. He bought all your snack at the brewery. So I brought some down to the studios for them, and they said that Harvey ended up eating it all, which is hilarious. But yeah, you know, this kind of led just putting myself out there and just doing a quick trial run and seeing how it went. There was some immediate success, and I got some family to back me up, and now I'm just trying to scale.
So I got to fill in some blanks here because I'm looking at like, so your LinkedIn, for example, you have some major government experience, right? Economist at Budget and Treasury, Ministry of Ontario, Ministry of Finance. You've got a business consultant, corporate services division. You've got, you kind of like senior business consultant in a bunch of places. Where does this come from? Like that, you know, like your skills, I guess you've got some of the consulting skills that help you fill in some of the gaps.
Right.
But where does the,
it doesn't really lend to it.
I'm going to make myself a snack and a,
sitting in the government office as a government worker. And then the logical thing is to make a snack and start
during the pandemic.
I mean, what you guys don't, so I did four, yeah. I worked at 4 years at Loblaws. I was always interested in product.
So because you came from the industry. Okay.
That fills in another blank. Yeah.
And then in my summers and when I was at McGill, my final summer, I already had a job at CIBC, and I was like, you know what? I want to go get my hands dirty. I think this is just like innate, like something I just wanted to do. Worked in a farm in Alberta, cattle, sheep and goat farm. And then I also came back and I worked in a pork abattoir in Toronto. I know.
So you got a job at CIBC, and you decided, before I go and do a banking job, I'm going to go work on a farm.
Yeah, exactly. So I looked at an online Saskatchewan newspaper, and then it was an ad in Alberta. So I went to Silver Valley.
I
love you too. I'm trying to find the logic in any of what you're doing.
There's no, my life is not linear.
Apparently.
No, we love it. We That's love awesome. That. Not linear is great. It's great. So you got some Loblaws experience that helps with some of this.
What is your Loblaws? Just out of curiosity. Yeah. I'm just curious for a second before we go. You were in the head office, you were in the stores, where were you in Loblaws?
Oh no, stores. I was cashier and stock boy.
Okay, so you physically were stocking shelves, you got to see stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, mainly cashier and like cashier stock and customer service.
Okay.
So you've got some ground level retail experience. You've got some of the ministry stuff that might fill in some of the gaps on processes and things you might be able to do. You've got some farming experience. Okay. And then, I might have missed this. The snack, is this, is it something like your mom made? Like, is this a family kind of thing that you grew up with and figured out, or just something you guys kind of started making, or your mom started making, or?
Yeah, it was like in her family, in my family, throughout, like, since I can remember.
Okay.
And then I started bringing it to university, actually. My friends were like, oh, this is so bomb, but nothing really came out of it.
Yeah.
And like, fast forward, and I was like, oh, there's like, you know, it's vegan, you know, natural product, natural snack food and all that jazz, like, you know, kind of going with the trend.
It's the right time for it, for sure.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I mean, disruptive flavor. I mean, there's nothing out there that tastes like it, and it's highly addictive. I mean, based on our proprietary.
Is it a Southeast Asian kind of flavor profile, or is it? Yep. An African food? What is it? Like, where are we from?
It's like Indian.
It's like Indian. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But it's
interesting.
There's a, I mean, I can't really disclose a spice, but there's a spice in it.
You don't
it.
Have to.
No, please don't.
You don't have to. Don't. Yeah. Share what you don't need to share.
But it's like, I mean, that mixed with, when it marinates with my seasoning.
Yeah.
With the other seasoning, it creates this like, you just want, it's like Miss Vic, it's like you just want to eat more and more and more.
Right. So you put cocaine in it. I got it.
Good job. I understand. That's good. Make sure the margins are there. Interesting. So this is it distinctly, again, because we don't want to get into it, like a distinctly East Indian or Indian flavoring type of play. Like if I smelt it, I'm thinking, oh man, this smells like what I would think it smelled. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So, I mean, great question, Kenny. It was very Indian at first. A lot of people knew off the bat when I was bringing it in. Right. But I did about like 8 to 9 variations of it, kind of westernized it a bit.
Okay.
A bit saltier, a bit more flavorful, a bit more bold. And then people didn't know. I guess like maybe, you know, I had like 450 customers over the course of 5 months. And I would say like one or two, maybe. Like, I mean, I dealt with maybe 100-150 direct customers. Maybe a few were like, oh, where is this? Is this like an ethnic snack? But I think people were just puzzled, like, wow, this is so flavorful. What's the flavor?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as much as I want to hone it being Indian, I want it also just to be more of like a millennial. Like, I mean,
it doesn't have to raise your friend. It's more because at my age, I ask questions like that. I know we're not allowed to anymore, I don't care. So I just go down those paths. But I'm curious because I like the ethnicity in food. I like to know where food comes from, because I get a whole different, like when I'm eating, I like the visual, I can see things then, and I get the feel for what it is. So I have no issue with being whatever it's from, but right. It just looks very interesting. And the flavor profile sounds pretty cool then.
Yeah, there's the original, and then there's also like a spice, there's two SKUs that are coming out, and then the spicy one is a huge hit. Like it was actually a bigger hit than the original.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. I love spice.
I can see that. Yeah, spice is on the way up, right? Like quality spice. We in the Western world, we've done. It's funny with like we talked a lot about this with Neil's Real Deals, right? Like the sauces, but like we're used to kind of that vinegary, saucy, you know, kind of in your mouth heat. But I think I think the Western world is starting to get really used to like Asian heat, which is a whole different.
It's a whole different heat. You
know, yeah, it's a whole different heat, right? But it's just fantastic. So that makes sense to me as well. Yeah.
Interesting.
So okay, so you start. So you brought this thing to university, and then you started bringing it to work in sandwich bags. You start to get some traction, and you think, I got to do something with this. And then, so what do? You go, you're making it, do you make it at home and start packaging it in kind of like semi-finished product bags, or how do you walk us through the evolution of that?
For sure. Like, I mean, there's, if you go to, I mean, I'm not sure if you guys have access to the internet, but if you go to umibrands.ca.
I'm actually on the webpage now. I'm looking at the
package. Okay, so if you go to About Us, or where is it?
I was just there.
I don't know where it is, but which tab? Oh yeah, if you go to
About Us. Oh, sorry, you've got those brown bags there, right?
Yeah, craft paper bags. So okay. I was going to a commercial kitchen downtown Toronto.
Oh, I see.
Making about 80, 90 bags a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was ordering craft paper bags from Amazon, and then mm-hmm. going to a local printer shop. And I mean, mm-hmm. my cogs were stupid high, but I mean, this was just more of an experiment run, right? Mm-hmm. Of course.
So you were trying to more establish a desire, and two, I guess, a retail to figure out what this should retail at. So then work backwards, I would assume.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I mean, and like I had all these like results to date. Like, as I mentioned, there is some interest from a lot of interest from breweries.
Well, I can see this in a bar for sure. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, like,
I would bet you with beer, this is like killer.
Actually, the brewery got a bit upset that I didn't have any in stock. They're like, dude, this is like the fastest selling snack in history. Like, you can't just like let us hang. I'm like, sorry, man, I have a full-time job, a baby. And I just focusing on growth right now. So
forget that, man. Get your shit together.
That's the marketing piece. You have to say, this is a limited run product.
Yeah, this is
right.
This is,
like, this
I've
is
done
made,
with care, man. I don't mass
craft
this.
Made in limited run. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you want it, you figure it out, you forecast it right, and I'll bring it to you. But
yeah, you want 10 kilos, I'll make you 10 kilos, but I make two at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, you guys are the experts.
No, I mean, absolutely. What? If they want it, order it. What's the shelf life?
So in these bags, it's like maybe 4 months, but like, at scale, it'll be about 9 months.
Right. Well, they can order a month worth of snack or 2 weeks worth of snack, whatever. Yeah. It's not a day-to-day, you know, you're not a day-to-day service.
Yeah.
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 So are these baked? How do you do these things?
Yeah. No, so they're quickly fried. I tried to air fry it. I tried to bake it.
Put it in a real fryer.
Honestly, I tried everything.
Well, I'll start screwing around with other things.
Feel your heart clogging up already.
I don't care. Got to air fry it.
Kenny wants it really hard fried, and then he wants it as salty as you can possibly
absolutely.
Make it.
It's a snack.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? To cover my bases, I actually did try and bake it, air fry it, and broil. I think I've tried to broil it too, and it all tastes like crap. It didn't marinate like the seasoning.
Nah, the seasonings don't get in. You need the oils and stuff to work with it. It brings out a whole new level, right?
No, exactly.
I'm getting hungry now too. You know that's the problem.
You're out of luck,
man. Sodium levels not
that
bad.
If I buy five bags, I can get free delivery in Toronto.
I gotta buy a pallet.
Sorry, Kenny.
I'll ship you a pallet in BC.
So where are you right now? So okay, we went into like Ziploc baggies. Yep. You were giving away in the office. Then you figured, well, shit, you know what I'm making? I may as well turn a buck. Mm-hmm. I may as well cover costs. So you started charging people in the office a nominal fee or just to cover costs, I'm assuming, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was like full Ziploc, no weight, like whatever I can like zip up for $5.
Whatever. Oh, okay. So maybe covering costs, maybe not.
Yeah. You know what? Probably not. Like, I mean, I probably lost a couple $100 over the course but whatever, it's pennies like in the long run, right? Like,
you got market research, right?
Yeah, you got market research.
Totally.
Yeah, so for you, it was for peanuts, really. Wow. So then you go into there and you figure, okay, if I get bags, I can go to a small scale, like industrial kitchen where you're like BC would be like your food safe and you got those things taken care of. So you're not doing anything wonky and you're making now, you were saying 50 to 90 bags a week or a day. I can't remember what you said.
No, like a week because on a given day, so I'd go on Saturday mornings and then I would be in the kitchen for 4 hours because I would get drained, right? Because I'm like, it's so much work. And then
right.
And then I'd like during the summers too, I'd be like, I mean, I'd be so dehydrated, I would have to like, I'd almost faint. It was
I guess so, right?
And that was when the trial run was happening. It was April to September of this.
So you did that. Then you decide what? Now you've already scaled the production a little bit, or you're still thinking? Like, where are you going?
Yeah, no. So I just wanted to get feedback. Honestly, I just want to say, is this viable? I don't want to waste my time and money down the road. Mm-hmm. And then I had people, I mean, go to customer reviews. I mean, I had people from not only customers, but I had, I started shipping it out to distributors, brokers, founders of CPG folks who now phenomenal like reviews. Like, I mean, I have like 3-4 distributors who want to go on board now. I'm speaking with a few top brokers who I'm solidifying. A few founders who run 100 million plus CPG brands that who have the intent to join my advisory board. So there's like, you know, I think I just wanted to see how it was going to go. And then, and then concurrently I was looking at, I found a co-packer in Scarborough that can make it. It's very, to extrude rice and chickpea is very tough. A lot of potato chip guys and corn guys could not make this. I did a trial run on one of them. It wouldn't do, but anyways, these guys out in Scarborough, they can do it, like 3,000 kilos a day, about 25,000 bags.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, I was kind of doing all that stuff in, I just wanted to see if it was like, I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like you're there. Like, it sounds like you're pretty sure that there's a play in this, right?
For sure.
And you're 50 gram bags or 100 gram bags, pardon me. And what is that in terms of retail? Like, what are we talking on this?
So, I mean, I've completely rebranded. I'll send you guys an email after. It's completely rebranded by the customer, like testimonials. It's more like a liquid death meets like Doritos type of like branding. It's like, pardon my language.
Did you just swear on the show?
Like that. I have never heard that.
What the fuck, Sasha? What the fuck?
Like, watch your fucking language. Like, seriously.
I know. I don't know why I said that, because I know you guys swear. So I was like, you know.
We just made you try to make it feel better. We don't care.
But I mean, I thought it was wholesome at first. And when you see the branding, but people were like, I mean, some of the reviews are like, primo shit, man. Already half a bag down.
So all the dope smokers like is what you're really getting at.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay, that's all good too. That's good.
So,
it's a good market.
So it's marinated with cocaine, and the dope smokers like it. I'm good here. Like, this is great.
This is a killer product.
This is it.
So let me go back. 100 grams. What's the retail? I want to go on pricing for a second.
Yeah. So 120. It's going to be 120 grams.
120.
$4.99.
And you've got the ability to do that.
So I figured out all my gross, like I've literally figured out all my like cogs and everything, like 3PL. What else was there? Like trade spend. Like I've worked with
you've backed it all up.
Yep.
Interesting.
And people are
like, Doritos are like $3 for 250 grams or something like that.
Yeah, but it's mass produced shit, right?
No, yeah, but that's where I'm going with it, right? Is at $125 for $5, like this is an artisan product in a decent price range.
Yeah, I don't think that's
kind of puts you, you know, because I think like if you go with potato chip guys, like Hard Bites or one of these guys, aren't they kind of in that same?
Well, even do Hawkins, like what's Cheesy's at?
Yeah, like.
But you know what? I think this is going to be the. I'm hoping to work with my broker company, but like, you know, it's comparative in terms of price with all the natural health food products.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was going with it too.
But some people are like, oh, are you going to put it next to Doritos? Cause I'd buy it off there. And like, because it has that feel like, but I'm like, no, it's not. Cause it's.
You'll never sell it.
Doritos of the natural.
Yeah. So you're going to be battling Frito and Old Dutch. You're not going to get real estate. They're going to knock the shit out of you. So don't bother.
Right.
You don't need to be there. Right. And just be careful. Like, again, you've established if the price works at $4.99, that's the price.
So you're a little bit like so a Hard Bite, which is still a potato. I think it's a potato. Yeah. Hard Bites is potato based, but they're somehow in the natural set. They're $2.97 for 125 grams. So at you know, so at $3, you know, that's for a potato, right? So yeah, at $5, it's not a significant premium. Like no one's gonna go, I'm not buying that, right? It's gonna be right. I understand, right? Like
I mean,
I understand why it's a little bit more.
9 grams of fiber, even 5 grams of protein. Like
actually,
you got to play here, man.
Yeah. We actually rejigged the thing. It's now it's gonna be 5 grams of protein, 3 grams of fiber. But it also has omega-3 and 6 polyunsaturated fats and a source of iron. So like we're kind of highlighting those elements.
Pitch is there. It's fine.
No, this is not complicated per se.
Yeah.
I mean it's snacks is a tough set just because you're battling a couple big guys and then you're battling a shit ton of little guys. So you it's kind of one of those weird spots where you're not just battling two or three majors that just want to kick the hell out of you. You're also, you know, there's a lot of people in these cool little sets. So you're trying to knock some play out of them as well. But you know, I do like the look of your product. Like the taste sounds
honestly phenomenal. So I think one thing I was like, you know what, let's see the market, how it did. And the other thing going with it, which people said was like, other than like a Frito lookalike, I mean, I'm not your next Tostito. I'm not your next crisp. Like, I'm not your next.
No. You're totally down that the other side.
Potato chip. Like, the way to extrude this and make it is it's so different. It's either I go big or go home with this, you know, like type of thing.
Well, you can tell it's extruded, right? Because it looks like it's ribboned out almost, right? Which is kind of neat too. So where are you right now in terms of retail? Sorry, Phil.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like, are you in any stores? Like, are you in like a Longo's or?
No. I mean, I didn't have the funds to like go big, but I didn't want to, I wanted to make sure I had a finished, like I wasn't sure where the branding was at. Like it was more just like a test run. Right. So branding's all like, I mean, new packaging is done and all that, but we are, we're doing a test run at the co-packer in terms of like the bags. And then we look to hit the green button, or the gas pedal on, hopefully in the next few weeks and then have product ready for end of February.
You've got some interesting plays here where I don't know. I don't think the commercial guys have the same thing, right? Like this, like the bars, for example, to be able to get like that's there's some tonnage there that could earn you. Do you know what I mean? Like so you've got a food service play.
I'd like that a lot, to be honest.
Like not a lot of these guys have, right? Like because the thing about retail is like the set you're going into. I'd almost call it murderous, right? Like it's competitive to the max. This is one of these categories where like Pepsi still has people going into stores where, you know, the rest of CPG has cacked all of their salespeople. Pepsi, like they still count wins by facings, right? In this category. Like,
buddy, they still fill two, three times a week. They're not in.
Yeah. No. And these guys, like they go in, they fill and they count. And so, like, Frito-Lay will count wins based on the number of facings they have at a local Longo's, right? So, like, to have the food service side, like this bar who's like, come on, you can't leave us hydrated. Fine. Like, but order a couple of 100 kilos for me, right? Like, you're going to blow through it. I love the
food service side, man.
You know what I mean? Like Five Guys, instead of having peanut shells all over the floor, man, like, you could fill this by the barrel and people would chew right through it. Like, yeah,
you do,
yeah, like, yeah.
You do 5 kilo, 10 kilo bags. It's not doing anything mental.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
honestly, you do stuff like that. Like, to me, because the cost structure is different, I'd be it's all tonnage, over food man. Service because like,
yeah.
you could just produce this a mile a minute, put it in. Yeah, I mean, you could still do nice bags, but do a 500 gram, a kilo bag, and strictly for food service. You save a ton on packaging, a ton on marketing. I mean, honestly, well, who cares? I mean, the retail side's fun, but retail's not cheap, right? It's costly. Like,
weeks away from launching, so we're not obviously...
No, do it. Every, no, I mean, it's a good idea. Do it. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But
there's a few other things, actually. We, I mean, food service is actually on my whiteboard right here because it's something I've been reading. There is a company called, I think, I'm not sure if it's... It's one of these Mexican companies. They had $10 million in sales before in food service before they went retail, and they already established a customer base.
There's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of the stuff we eat. Like if you look at pastas, for example, because it's easy because I'm Italian. But if you look at the pastas you see on shelves and you go to shelves and say, "Wow, I've never seen that pasta before." Yeah, you have. You've had 2 years in the restaurant. Yeah,
you've been eating.
That's why it's on the shelf.
Yeah.
It's all test run there. And the cost structure is different because even for the manufacturer of pasta, they can go into 5 kilo bags bulk as opposed to 10 individual 500 grammers, right? The cost structure changes. And then everything else changes. There's no listing fees. There's no co-op. There's no all the bullshit that just attaches to retail, as fun as retail is. It's a shitty game in a lot of ways. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work.
Well, you look
at, got a very cool problem for bars. Yeah. Every bar in the country should have this.
I know. I mean, there's also a few smaller distributors that had interest, like who have hotels, offices, and stuff. And
awesome.
I'm kind of office space.
I don't know so much. I don't know about that. But like anything light food service, definitively. So any cafe, any bar can do this in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Put it this way. If you put this on the table, what's the difference between putting a side of guacamole and chips that, let's say, they make on site, they charge me $5, or give me a bowl of these for $5? It's munchy food. You know what it forces me to do? I'm going to buy more beer, realistically. Right? That's what's going to happen.
It's salty. It's nice.
Who doesn't like savory? I mean, seriously.
Throw it with some guacamole.
Whatever. Or whatever. If there's a
whatever. Salsa. Doesn't matter.
On its
straight
own.
Straight up. Yeah. Yeah.
But the food service play is very, very cool. And I think there's definitely play in that side for sure. A lot easier.
It's exciting. Okay. So you're launching shortly.
Yeah. You know what?
Not to deflate your retail. We don't want to do that. Yeah, we don't want to deflate.
No, dude. No, you know what? The whole retail side too is I took while I was doing this whole experiment, I was reading and listening to podcasts and speaking to founders. And I think one advantage I have in the savory snack industry is I'm actually getting these 35 gram samples done for me. So it's sealed. I can hand them on the streets of Toronto, of Call the City. So literally I have a 95, like almost like 100% customer repeat rate, not just through friends and family. When it's in their hands.
It is cocaine. That is the special.
I swear to God, it's like, no, honestly, you'll have, it's, I mean.
It is laced.
People say like, fuck, I just want to find just one.
You know, you got to be, and watch, I'll tell you what, like, yeah, I love your sampling idea, by the way, but a 35 gram is a pretty hefty sample, right? And it's, and again, there's costs involved right now. You got packaging costs. You've got a lot of things in there. Sample through the bars.
Kenny, you know what though? If I would rather spend $3,000 on, let's just say hypothetically, like 5,000 bags. I don't know, but 5,000 bags.
It's going to be in there.
People's mouths. Than $5,000 on, when I'm starting out, than $5,000 on Facebook ads or something, right?
Like, buddy, I would spend $5,000 giving it to every bar in the goddamn city.
Yeah.
I mean, serious. Because you know what? To what your point, it's sound.
No, you're going to taste it. Like, you're going to buy it if you taste it. So.
I don't need a booth in Loblaws. I literally can handle, like, as long as I'm on someone's private property, I can go on any street in Toronto, very dense city, or anywhere in the freaking Ontario and just,
absolutely,
like, hang it out. And, you know, I'll have a Poco shirt, a Poco cape, and I'll just go, you know, be Superman. Like, I mean, I can seriously see this in so many
cafes and bars. It would just be mental.
And it's, you know, it's proven, it's, con- I mean, you know, early right? stages. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but yeah, it's, I mean, it's worked so far. I love to get in people's mouths and like, be like, holy shit, get me more. And like, that's how I had a successful trial run is, through 3 and 4 degrees of separation through, like, you know, my brother's friend's mom's aunt or some shit. Like, right. It was crazy. Like, the craziest one was, like, I was in a company care package for a federal agency. My friend works for it. And she sent 190 bags nationally. And I had people from Quebec and Alberta calling me, like, hey, where can I get it? Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
So, like, it's kind of cool. It's led to so many different things. And
that's really cool.
But you know what?
Exciting.
One podcast that you guys have, one episode, you guys said, you know, don't go to like farmers markets for 3 years. Get the proof of concept, see if it's viable, and then like hit the gas running, right? Like, I didn't want to keep doing this like for, you know, I mean, I didn't have the time, and I was like, you know what? I think a 6-month trial was good, and these are like.
I think you did a lot of things right. I mean, you've got trial, you know it works. I mean, really, a salty snack, you're pretty much a good thing to go. Your challenge is what most people don't do. Is learn enough about the industry, because the salty snack aspect is very cool and it's easy in a lot of ways. I'm not saying your product's easy.
No,
but
for sure.
It's the difficulty is when you start scaling production and you're buying bags and then you think, well, I'll go to retail. Well, the retailer's got 14 trillion options in salty snack. So now, you know, that's a bitch. Now, the fact is, you know that people like it. You've got the trial and you've got some cool angles that retail could almost be.
Well, retail's
either secondary or it could work side by each with food service, which most CPG brands, as you know, Phil, don't get that opportunity.
Well, they're going to, in a lot of ways, it's what you want because it drives a demand that the retailer can't turn away.
You have no choice. Right? I have these chips. Are you going to bring them in or not? Because otherwise,
like,
I'm going
like
to go
with
the longest
chips,
they carry.
It's like, look, you know, can you tell between Old Dutch and Humpty Dumpty and, you know, Lay's? And you maybe kind of sort of could, but the retailer can persuade you to go from one to the other, right? But once they've tried your snack, it's not something that they can go, well, you know, we got something else like that here. Okay.
Or the Doritos.
What do you have that's like this in the store, right? No, I don't want Doritos, and I don't want, you know, so what else is there, right? Like, why don't you have these guys, right? Yeah. So,
I mean, and like I, you know, speaking of founders too, like I got the product in like 6 or 7 buyers' hands or in their mouths, like some distributors and brokers. And like, truthfully, the consensus was, wow, when is this coming out? So, I mean, you know, I don't like to force things. I don't like to say, oh, do you like my snack? It's like, you know, what was the feedback? And I mean, truthfully, it's been like incredible. So I'm like, you know what, maybe this is worthwhile, you know? So like, we'll see how it goes. And
I just make sure your margins are fat. Yeah. Like, make sure you've given yourself a ton of room, right? Because it's going to be important. Because in these categories, you know, you're probably working closer to 50 margins with retailers, which means that $5 is $2.50 to them.
Right.
And then they're still going to want their 10, 15 points in the program and whatever else they decide to screw you on, right? So, and then the distributor is going to want 35 to 40 points. Brokers want 5 to 10. Like, before you know it, you start chewing up pretty fast, right?
Right. And I think, I mean, that's why I'm trying to get like, I mean, hopefully soon is my team assembled to negotiate those. I mean, they'll have more negotiating power with retail. And let's just say like I get a top like broker and they're able to maybe, you know, no, you don't think?
Small retailers for sure.
There's no negotiating power with, you know, a broker and a distributor. And
depends on who. They can negotiate with each other. Sure, they can negotiate all day. When they hit Loblaws, there's not going to be a shit ton of negotiating done.
Right. Okay.
Like, if the listing fee is $35,000, it's $35,000.
What if I told them I worked 4 years during my high school years?
Congratulations, I did too. That's, I'm sorry. That's realistically what. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right. No. The fact is, I might. You know, when I was a buyer and Phil was a buyer, I liked a lot of products, and I liked the person selling. But I also worked for a company that was massively entrepreneurial, very lenient with us to do whatever we wanted. It was super easy to work with London Drugs as a buyer because you could pretty much do whatever you want, right? A lot of companies don't have that flexibility, especially in these types of sets, because it is so freaking competitive. And that's why I think that's why we're probably both not hesitating, but we keep going down sort of the food service path, because if you can develop this brand in those spaces and someone goes into a bar and they order, you know, can I have 2 Coors Light and can I have the you know, Sasha's snacks, all of a sudden that's, I'm going, you know, because I'm paying for it. I'm going to pay $5 for this, for Poco. I'm going to pay for it.
Right.
So if I say I want $5 for Poco in a bar, why wouldn't I not pay for it in the store? I mean, it's easy. In the store, it's just tough because there's so much noise. There's so many guys in salty snack.
So I love this. I work for a retailer that was small in the beginning, allowed us to do a lot of things, but I know I have a lot of leeway on profit and what I had to return to the bank for the retailer. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think that's where your problem is if I'm a clever buyer and I've saved up a bit of profit, you know, because I've been hitting the big guys hard and I've got a little bit of extra leeway, I can buy you a little bit of room, but I'm not going to be able to give you room on, you know, some of the like new brand stuff that I'd want you to do, right? So I'd want you to be in a flyer, right? And I might be able to cut you a tiny bit of space on margin, for example, because I'd say to you, don't worry about billing. I won't bill you back for the dollar if you go on sale or whatever. I could do that because maybe I pounded a Pepsi or I pounded a, you know, like I was able to carve away a little bit of profit and you're small enough that I can absorb that. But I wouldn't be able to say, I can waive your listing fee. I could, like, those things are not like they're big ticket things that somehow I need to answer for internally, that I wouldn't, do you know what I mean? Like, cause my risk is already, I don't know you from anybody. Right. You seem like a good dude. You seem like you have a good snack, but inherently buyers are skeptical people, right? Like we, you know, at the end of the day, we take risks because we're 70% sure, right? That they're going to be good, but there's the 30 that I'm.
And the 30 comes in.
You know, I mean, the 30 comes in for 100%. Like it's 70-30, right? So I don't want you to be in the 30, but I'm not going to take enough risk that the 30 is going to hurt me a lot, right?
Now that's
so
also that's, us talking
that's
big
what
retailers.
You're, you know, that's what you're dealing with from a buyer persona, right? Is
but now you can go to independent still, Phil, right?
Yes.
Different game. So if you go to the one store, two store, three store, even like a three store chain, like the little guys, like Longo's isn't so little anymore, but you can do, and there are in Ontario, there's tons of distributors.
Yeah.
But there are distributors who do DSD really well.
Yeah.
Or smaller independents or natural stores, much better.
And you've got leeway there.
And that's all. And then you can play, have some fun.
Because they want to be early in the game.
Absolutely.
They want to be the people that said, you know what, Loblaws was being kind of the conservative biatch in this, and we beat them to the game. Like, you found this here first. You know what I mean? Right. Like, those things are badges of honor for a lot of these guys, right? So you do have room to play there. And then if you do get that, you do get a little bit more room, or you get a little more respect from someone like a Loblaws.
Plus you might get a little more margin for yourself where you can actually do other things.
Yeah.
Right. I know there's a distributor like in Toronto, Annex, and I know they cater to more of the independent stores. There's also
nothing wrong with that. The independent side is good business.
For sure. I'll take what I get.
Even do it that way though, Sasha. Like you take what you get for sure. But you're in a good spot right now. You can actually plan this really well. Mm-hmm. Like you can say to yourself, listen, the allure, and brokers and distributors will do this with you all the time. The allure of the Loblaws listing and the Sobeys listing is really enticing. Obviously, you'd be stupid not to want to do that. I get it. But there's a lot of complications that go with those listings, right? And it's really no different than what you're doing now. Your independents are the office, your mom and dad, your cousins, your aunts, that market that you've sort of established. Do you know what I mean? It's just a different scale. They have hundreds of people going through their stores every day. There's a market there. Not everybody likes shopping in a Loblaws. Not everybody likes Walmart. Not everybody likes Sobeys. And to tell you the truth, if I'm looking for innovative products, I will not go to those fucking clowns because they have nothing. They don't buy that way. I don't give a shit what the distributor, if your distributor broke down, they're full of shit. That's not how those guys buy. They don't. They're not the innovators. They'll innovate on their own brands. They're not innovating for you. They'll pick up a few here and there. But the independent, that guy or that girl, that's the one who's trying different shit. They're the ones who get excited about something like this and say, you know what? I think I can actually go $5.99 on this thing and I'll do a front end or whatever they'll want to do. Or they'll go $4.99 and work on 35 margin.
Right.
Which pads your pocket.
Yeah.
Right? There's a whole different world. And you've already done it anyway. Like you've started that way. Like if you think of the office people and your family and the friends as sort of the independents, it's the same idea, because sometimes the big guys the allure is immense and it's so cool, but they're problematic.
You know what? I'm risk averse in that sense where I don't want to make a big mistake and go there and get delisted. And then it's like a problem. Like I'm actually like more, I tread lightly and I've been doing everything slowly. Or slow, like, you know, not too slow, but slow enough. Yeah. People ask, or, you know, even some distribution people I've been speaking with, like, oh, like, how quick do you want to go national? I'm like, not quick. I don't. I would rather.
Not at any cost, right?
Not at anything. I don't really care. Yeah. You could stay in the GTA.
Yeah.
And I mean, do a wicked business for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You could stay in, like, I don't know where you live, but if you're staying in Mississauga, how many people in Mississauga, Phil? Half a mil?
Yeah.
Well, you could stay in Mississauga and never leave. And frankly, carve out a really good life.
Yeah.
Right. Seriously. I mean, it depends on what you really want to do and how you manage this.
You have to do that so I can have something over Kenny. Is that I can buy the snack and he can't. That's what I want.
That's all you care about. You're so self-centered. That looks really terrible. It's just not very nice. Although you do send me stuff periodically, but you are.
I do.
I don't know about you some days.
I think you've. It sounds like you're in the right place, though. You've clearly thought about this a lot.
I'm impressed with what you think. I mean, you're doing this. I think you've done this really well. There's a lot of people that would have done it faster. I get that. There's a lot of people that, you know, would have done it, whatever. I think you've done it really, you've done it for you.
You've been really thoughtful. And you've thought
this through. It's thoughtful. Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
It's, you've done this, I think, well. I don't think there's any issues with this. I would just look at a few different angles.
I agree.
Maybe that you might not have, because it also depends who you're talking to, mm-hmm. right? You can hang up on this call and you go talk to a distributor broker. You know what they're going to say? Those guys are fucking idiots. I wouldn't listen to anything they say. We got to go to Loblaws and Costco. And you might want to do that. Light it up. I think there's play in it. It's a lot of games. It's a little more complicated game.
Yeah. Just if you do that, if you do that, make sure the broker gets you across the true cost of getting. So the getting into a Loblaws and a Costco is amazing, but the it's the after effect of getting listed, right? We've had a bunch of like people that we know that have started that landed the best one, honestly, I know probably three vendors that landed at Costco that helped them like kind of like walk back a little bit of the offer, because they basically landed in every Loblaws corporate store and then like the Fortinos you know lineup or whatever, so somewhere to the tune of like 300 to 400 stores. And so when we started working out things like pipe fill, you know, so you're going to put, you know, six bags, two facings of each flavor. So that's, you know, that's 12, you know, like 12 bags of each, 12 bags of your product in every 300 stores, plus the pallet in the warehouse, plus. And then they would go, holy shit, like that's going to be a $300,000, you know, kind of investment on my part. Yep.
Yeah, well,
and then you've got to pay the listing fee, so you got two fees, so that's another $60,000, and then you know, there's like the investments that you're gonna make on the marketing side with these guys, but the $300,000, you don't see cash for that for, you know, 150, 180 days. I was gonna say
you could be in a yeah. pickle where
it so, takes you. So you gotta carry $500,000 for 180 days.
It's a lot
until
of money.
You see hopefully all of it without deductions, right? Like without the usual.
Yeah, but Phil, you're never gonna sell it all. That's the point, right?
That's the thing, right?
Yeah, so start with that hundred yeah. half mil, like you said.
Yeah.
You sell half, you're new. 60 to 90 days.
Yeah.
By the time they stop fucking around with you because they know you've got no voice. Because what are you going to do? Oh, your broker might have a good relationship.
But to be fair, let's say Loblaws says they, you know, you're new, but I really like you and I'm going to get you all the way through. You still got to get through. I mean, you know, you worked with Loblaws at the store level. At the store level, there's like four layers of administration, right? So to get your paycheck done on time is already a chore, right? So to get you set up in SAP and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and you make your way through all the finance groups, you know.
I know all about red tape and bureaucracy.
Yeah. Yes, you work for government.
Yeah, so it's okay. So yeah, so you understand that, right? So
remember, that's
not
your money. So
you got to carry.
It's your money now.
Yeah,
it's yours.
But you got to carry $300,000.
Right,
is kind of like,
and you can't order the day of, right? You have to order your raw materials most likely 60 to 90 days.
Yeah.
Those guys don't give you terms unless you really know them. And the best terms you probably get is 30 days. So you've paid, like, you're sitting on your cash for 60 days minimum before it sees production. Mm-hmm. Then it's another month.
Yeah.
Then it gets to a store. Then it's another 2 months. Like, if you could be, like Phil said, you could be up to 5 months sitting there thinking, buddy, I got a kid to feed.
I got sales, but I got no cash. Like,
for sure. No, I've actually like studied this like whole negative working capital cycle. It's vicious, and like you need more money. I mean, the faster you grow, the more cash you need, and you know, it's brutal. And I won't mention it on this, but I do have a team that is a financially that's a like or. Some financial folks that are aligned with my vision. So,
which is good.
My wife would kill me. I can't remortgage the house for my kid. So,
but you got to be careful too. You don't want to get yourself where you've mortgaged so much of your idea that when the piper says, hey, it's time to pay the band.
Right.
You got no money, because you know what the other guy says? No problem. We'll take care of that. By the way, you're out. Cause that's what VC does, right? That's the nature of other people's money. When you're using other people's money, it's exactly that, other people's money.
Yep. No, totally.
When I want it back, I want it back.
Let's just say they're on favorable terms. But yeah,
everybody is. But it's money. Remember how many families get together so well until someone passes, and all 100%. Of a sudden, money can make the world a miserable freaking place.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. I don't want to be naive about
it. That's why I really like the way you're sort of doing it. You've got a cool idea. You're not going to have a ton of people, I think, running out and copying this tomorrow morning. You've done it. I mean, you can rush it if you want, but you've got a really cool play in here, and you could probably hide in some of these channels if you just do it a little differently, right? So you could buy some time if you're worried about people copying it. Or
so I gotta shoot you a note after this. I'll buy some from you. I'll buy the 5 bags, get some free delivery, or I'll pick it up or whatever. I'd love to try it. I'm so curious.
I'm curious now too. I'm dying to try this stuff. I'm curious to see what it's like.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good thing I got a bunch of sample bags, so I'll just ship it over. You're in BC, right, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver. Oh. Yeah. And if you want, you know, if you want some offline help, or if you're kind of not too sure, just ping us. Or either of us. I mean, I'll tell you what I think. You could do whatever you want. It's your business. Yeah. Yeah. But if you want an outside thought that's probably not so attached to anything per se.
For sure.
I'm doing this with another company I have, buddy, just so you know. So I got another company that we're in the same boat. We're retail bag ready. We have the bags. We're retail ready. We don't have the distribution. I'm talking to some distributors right now. We're looking at a broker structure as well. But we do a food service business. And the conversation I had last night with one of the main partners and with another of the partners today, I said, you know what, guys? The low-lying fruit right now is fucking food service for us. I couldn't give a rat's ass where we sell the guts of this product, whether it's in a food service bag or it's in the retail bag. I want money to pay the bills, to keep the lights on, and put some money in the bank.
To be honest, so, one thing, as you know what, that brewery in the West End that sold out 5 times in 3 months. I mean, not only
I'd be there five, every day, man. Just give them
honestly, well, there's an organic garage there, and people would go there and be like, hey, can I get at the organic garage? I'm like,
yes.
They couldn't.
Well, you have to get him in there. You got to get. You tell the garage then, buddy, the guy next door is carrying it.
Yeah.
The bar has it. They're coming after the bar to you.
But you know what's cool about that brewery too is that it led to, like, catering events. Like guys, like I was doing like someone ordered like 30 bags for a catering event in Mississauga, and then it led to me meeting a guy who then introduced me to the Scotiabank guy for like MLB, NHL, and NBA flights.
Cool.
Imagine those guys eating it. And then it also led me to an actor eating who bought the whole like supply. So, I mean, fuck, look at food service. It opened more doors than anything.
But that's a big deal.
If
you look at food service, when you're doing a catering event, you don't send 30 bags. You know what you send? You send a 10 kilo bag.
Yeah.
One bag, one pack, and let them divvy it up and put it into the plates or the bowls or whatever they damn well please. What do you care?
Right.
That's their industry. That's their business. And you save 30 bags. You save all that bullshit. Right. Now, again, not to say don't do retail. I don't think Phil and I've said, I mean, I just, because your product is already lent so well.
Yeah.
I would play the shit out of food service. Like I seriously, we'd be downtown tomorrow. I'd go to the bar, load them up. I'd go over, talk to the manager of Granite Garage. So listen, do whatever you want. If it's not you, I'm going to find somebody within 500 meters of this bar and this product's going in there. And for the short term, for 3 months, that's going to be the only place they can buy it. So when people come from the bar and come and can't buy the snack here, I'm telling the bar to send it to your competitor. So you decide what you want to do. But that's how this game's going to play.
Right.
And that's it. Because you got both sides then.
Yeah.
I love this, Phil. I do. I think this is so cool.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
Sasha, thank you for coming on.
That's good on you, man. Thanks for pinging us or reaching out.
Yeah, man,
absolutely. I look forward to coming on. I mean, I might ping you guys offline. I'll send you some samples, but I look forward. I don't know.
I'd love to see you in 6-8 months. Like,
come back.
It up?
Come for back sure. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. If you're launching, send us some stuff. We'll reshare whatever you do on social media as well. And then for sure, come back on and tell us how things are going. You know, if we can get the podcast audience to help any way or. A lot of them wind up mirroring our purchases. So, we'll tell them.
Good job, buddy.
All right. Awesome. Well, happy 2022. And,
thank you. You too.
All right. Great.
Cheers.
Thanks, Sasha.
Okay, Phil, hang on.
Yeah.
Sasha, nice meeting you, man.
Okay. Congrats. Take care, good man. Job. Oh, cool.
It is cool. I mean, again, it's not, you know, we're not going to go to Mars on this one. It's not rocket science, but I think he's done a decent job thinking it through. I think there's a little test market approach. I love the food service angle on this, man. I should not. Every bar.
I love the story of bringing this to work in sandwich bags.
I love the fact you bring it to work sandwich bags. Then what you start doing, then you start charging it for it.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah. It's even better.
I'll get you hooked on this stuff for free. He's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Love it. Good for him. I hope he does well.
Yeah. We'll put Sasha and Poco's product links and website pages in the notes. And then just a reminder, public service announcement. If you haven't filled in the survey link will be down below. Please fill it in. We would love it. You know, having Sasha on is really cool. A listener who's building a product and reached out to talk to us is really cool.
I'm glad we reached out.
Yeah.
Neat. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, folks, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, as always. Appreciate it.